Ezekiel 45, here we have reference to the prince, and we want to know, well, who is this prince? Let's just remember that Ezekiel is giving all these prophecies himself in exile in Babylon. He had gone with the first wave of exiles, and those exiles were mainly the leaders. They were the relatives of the royal family. They were the princes of Judah, and they had gone into captivity because they had broken the covenant and abused the people of Israel and Judah. And so verse 8, in this new system that Ezekiel is asking the exiles to return to the land and rebuild, my princes shall no more oppress my people. Well, you can read that as simply a prophecy. My princes shall no more oppress my people, but I would say that that is really a command. My princes shall no more oppress my people. He was giving this to the princes. He was giving this prophecy to the princes of Judah. And he's saying, look, no more oppression. Throughout Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the fact that the leaders of Judah had oppressed the people is given as a reason why the exile is going to happen. So in chapter 43 of Ezekiel, we read about the law of the house. I'd see this whole section as commandment rather than prediction. So the princes are going to be like this. And who then is the prince? Well, I suggest, therefore, the prince suggests that there was a particular member of the royal family in exile who could potentially have returned to the land and rebuilt the kingdom and been some kind of messianic leader. Well, you get this in Ezekiel 37 as well, where, again talking about the restoration that could have happened, they shall dwell in the land that I've given to Jacob, and David, my servant, shall be their prince forever. Well, the prince is therefore going to be in the line of David, a Davidic ruler. Well, in Ezekiel 21, we read about how the prince of Judah, that's Zedekiah, is to be overthrown. And the whole kingdom is to be no more until there is a revival, is to be overturned, until he come whose right it is. So that profane, wicked prince of Israel, Zedekiah, is to be replaced by another prince, the prince. Now, I know that ultimately that all came true in the Lord Jesus, but I suggest that there was the potential for a prince in the line of David to have returned and established that, well, re-established the kingdom of God there in Israel. Well, he would have been a mortal man. I suggest that Zerubbabel is the best candidate, which literally means the branch from Babylon. So the prophecies about the branch arising would have been fulfilled in him, and Zerubbabel does come, but then he disappears from the scene. I think he let the baton drop. He returned to Babylon, and there is some historical evidence outside the Bible that that is what happened, that he actually returned there and was made by the Babylonians the sort of effective leader of the Jewish community in Babylon. Well, made by the Persians, I should say, the effective leader of the Jewish community, absolutely loyal, of course, to the empire of Persia and so on. So he let the baton drop, and okay, so all these prophecies, therefore, are recalculated and reapplied. Not every bit of them, not every letter of them, but the spirit of them is reapplied to the Lord Jesus. But I think the situation that's in view here is of a human prince. Looking through the evidence about the prince here in Ezekiel 40 to 48, he has children. He is clearly seen as a human being, and he must offer sin offerings. We read this here in Ezekiel 45, that he is to offer sin offerings, and the whole thing needs cleansing, etc. Well, you've got to compare that with Hebrews, which is very clear that the Lord Jesus offered one offering that ended all the offerings. There was to be no more sacrifice. And so I don't think that we should be thinking that these things are going to be literally fulfilled in the kingdom. If you look in more detail at what's commanded here about the legislation, the feasts and the kind of offerings, you'll see that the legislation differs from that of the law of Moses. The sin offering is different, the Sabbath offering is different. For example, here in Ezekiel, there's to be 6 lambs and 1 ram every Sabbath. In the law of Moses, just 2 lambs. The new moon offering was different. The daily sacrifice was different. There was to be 1 lamb offered in the morning. Was under the law of Moses, it was 2 lambs, one in the morning, and 2 lambs in the evening. Legislation about the Passover, which we read here in Ezekiel 45, is different to that which is in the law of Moses. The Feast of Booths is likewise really quite different. So it is very shoddy biblical workmanship to assume that this is talking about the law of Moses being re-established. It isn't talking about that. The details are different. Likewise, when you read about the actual temple itself here, there's no laver, there's no Ark of the Covenant, there's no veil, there's no golden candlestick, there's no incense altar, etc. So what I want to suggest then is that Israel broke the covenant. They broke the old covenant. It was like a rod, as Zechariah shows them, which has been broken. That's why they had been sent out of their land, just as had been told them in Leviticus 26, that if you break the covenant, I will send you out of the land. Well, that's what happened. And yet God offered them this new deal, this new covenant that involved this temple being built and operated as it's commanded here. As I say, Ezekiel 43, the law of the house, and which involved the gift of the Spirit in their hearts, whereby the essence of the Spirit of the law would be written in their hearts, and God would, as it were, confirm any desire they had to be obedient, and he would bring them into personal relationship with himself. Well, that is not what happened with the exiles. They were resistant, shall we say, to any real spirituality. Most of them chose to stay in Babylon. And as you read through Ezekiel 40 to 48 and compare it with Ezra, Nehemiah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, it's very clear that they were disobedient. And so all the wonderful potential didn't happen. Now, in verse 25 of Ezekiel 45, we're told that in the 7th month, in the 15th day of the month, in the feast, he will do for 7 days, according to the sin offering, burnt offering, meal offering, etc. But in Zechariah 7, the Jews are criticized for the way they kept this feast. He says, "You kept it externally, but not unto me." And in fact, in Haggai 2, it says that on the 21st day of the 7th month, that's once this 7-day feast that's commanded here in verse 25 of Ezekiel 45, once that was over, on the 21st day of the 7th month, Haggai goes to rebuke the prince, Zerubbabel, for being so slack in rebuilding the temple. And even by the time of Nehemiah 8, we're told that the feast of the 7th month had not been kept by Judah since the time of Joshua. So they simply did not keep what they were told to do here. And so it didn't come about. And why? Because they say in Haggai 1 verse 2, they said, "Well, the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built." And this is the thing. If you don't want to be in the kingdom, you won't be there. You can make all manner of excuses, and there is a terrible tendency in human nature to delay things. I will do it, but not right now. And this is what happened to them. And in the end, all this wonderful potential was lost. And I think we have it all recorded in such detail to underline to us the tragedy that God can set up very detailed potentials, which we then fail to realize, we fail to actualize. And then you see a bridge from these ancient issues and situations right up to date in your own life, that we also can do the same. God has prepared great potentials for us, good works prepared for us to do from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 2. But we can waste all that potential. And this is the tragedy of God's project, if you like, with humanity. But I think, likewise, he must be thrilled when weak folks like you and I say to him, yes, I want to. Show me what to do. I'll do my best in all my weakness, but I will do my best to realize, to actualize what you have potentially set up for me.